What I want to do before we jump into this message, we're talking with celebration, and you know, I feel like that, you know, before I talk about celebration, that I get frustrated that the world can often find any and every reason to celebrate, and the church can often go through life without celebrating anything. It's almost like, you know, the world can find anything and everything to celebrate. Doesn't matter. They'll make up holidays. They'll make up functions just to have a reason to throw a party. And I feel like I think the church should throw the biggest and greatest celebrations ever, because we actually got something to celebrate. And God was so cool with this that in the Old Testament, He made it mandatory that for every year, He forced people to celebrate. He said, hey, look, you're going to celebrate these festivities. And every year you're going to come bringing these kinds of gifts, because ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. So, you know, He was just saying, you know what, you're going to celebrate. I'm going to give you a reason to celebrate, because I'm God and I got great things for you, and you shouldn't be ashamed, but you should find reason to celebrate. And I'm going to give you three opportunities just to get started, but you should celebrate every day. You should celebrate the small stuff. You should celebrate the big stuff. You can celebrate the small victories. You should celebrate the big victories. And so today we're going to throw a party. But before we do that, I want to celebrate yesterday and the big give back that we did in the park. Over 8,000 plus people came. It was amazing. All the volunteers, all the military, all the people that came and showed us their support and everything. I mean, it was just an amazing day. And you know, people were coming at 6 o'clock in the morning. Matter of fact, they were parked here before we got here at 5:45. They were already ready, all the way from Zilla. We gave the guy a We Love Our City shirt. We said, you're the first guy, we're giving you a shirt. He came running down like, yeah, he had a group of 5 kids. I was excited. Didn't speak one word of English. But I understood everything he was saying. You know what I'm saying? And so we want to celebrate that. Maybe you weren't here yesterday, or maybe you came to the event yesterday. We threw a party for you because we want to love on our city. For those of you that are out of town, for those of you that didn't come, for those of you that didn't believe it was going to happen, for those of you that didn't think that that many people was going to show up, drum roll please, roll the video.
Desperate for, we will.
love our city. That was just a small glimpse of a five-hour time span that you saw in like a minute and a half. And what's interesting is when the biggest section of that video where there's the most people in our parking lot, there's just as many at the park. And you can't even see in the park. I mean, the line wrapped around from right there all the way around the city block. All the way around the city block. Back to the front, back down the house right here, back out, and back around the city block. I don't think you really understand how many people were there. Over 8,000 people for one reason. We want to celebrate our city. We want to love on our city. We want to say that God is not meant to be contained in a building, but we don't want to tell you about Jesus. We just want to show you what grace looks like. We want to show you what love looks like. We want to show you that God cares about you, whether you can afford a backpack or can't afford a backpack. God cares about you, and He wants to express His love on you, not to force you. No gimmicks, just grace. Come on, someone say amen. You know what's interesting about fearless, this message, the reason why we're talking about fearless celebration is because oftentimes I feel like the church is afraid to celebrate. You know, and sometimes I feel like the church doesn't just, they're afraid to release what's on the inside of them for confusion that people think they're crazy, wacko. Oh my goodness, you're saying thank you. Why are you saying thank you, Jesus, right now? Because it's a thank you, Jesus moment. Come on, somebody. And, you know, I've been to some things, and I'm just hoping that when we celebrate, that the celebration would be so loud and so joyous that other people would just jump in. They don't even know why they're celebrating, but they're just jumping in, celebrating too, like, yeah, I don't know what I'm saying yeah for, but yeah. You know, I've been to some football games in my day to the Seattle Seahawks, and I don't like the Seahawks. I'm just going to be honest. I'm not a Seahawks fan. I don't hate the Seahawks. I hate the Dallas Cowboys. But I don't like the Seahawks. I'm trying to love our state's teams. I told my wife this last year. I'm going to try to be a fan. But it's just hard to be a fan of people who lose all the time. It's just hard. I'm sorry. So, you know, I went a couple years ago to a Seahawk game, and I went to watch the Arizona Cardinals. I wasn't even there to watch the Seahawks. I was there to watch the Arizona Cardinals, and everyone else around me was there to watch the Seahawks, and I was like coming in there to cheer against our state's team, like, let's go Arizona, kill the Seahawks. And you know, there's people celebrating and they're like crazy, and the crowd is going wild, and by the end of the first quarter, all of a sudden I got some Seahawk fever, and by the third quarter I was ready to paint my face green and blue and put a Seahawk chicken on my head. And I was shouting and cheering and clapping hands, and I don't even like the Seahawks. You know what's interesting is that's how the church should be. We should be so full of joy. We should be so excited that other people go, I don't even know why I'm going to church, but I'm going to church this Sunday. I don't even know what amen and hallelujah means, but I'm saying amen and hallelujah. I don't even know what's happening, but I just feel like giving a backpack away. You know what's interesting is when you start to celebrate, people will jump in with you. You know, that's how the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to be electric. The church is supposed to be glorious. The church is supposed to have something to shout about. The church is supposed to have something to sing about. The church should have something to be thankful about. In the midst of a bad economy, in the midst of a bad system, in the midst of the government going crazy, the church should be able to stand strong and say, we still got it together. God is still good. The best is yet to come. We should have something to cheer about and to be excited about. Even in the midst of trials and tribulations, we're called to count it all joy because we know that God's in control of the end of the story. We should be able to celebrate. Someone say, amen. See, some of you jumped in on that one. You wasn't even ready to say it. But you just, I don't even, amen. Amen. So I'm going to give you some scriptures today from the Message Bible. It's very contemporary. What they did, it's a paraphrase Bible, actually. They go back to the original Hebrew and Greek and try to make it as close to modern-day language as possible. So it might not read like yours. Just bear with me. It's for emphasis today. I'm trying to get you to get the point. Here we go. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 5, and the Message says this. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. See, we should have this future hope that communicates that God is good, that he's amazing, and we're not against the people outside the walls. I want you to understand this. We're not against people. We're not against people outside the walls. We're not against people who made mistakes. Actually, we're on their side trying to help them see how good God is so they can get him on the inside of them. Because truthfully, we were on the outside one time or two before. We were the ones that didn't have the glory of God. We didn't have the celebration inside like we do today. And so that's why we're determined to love our city so they can see that we're for the city. We want you to know that God's got a huge plan for you and God's got great things for you. And even though you may not feel like it, even though you may feel like you mess it up, even though you may feel disqualified, God can still use you. God can still change you. God's got great things for you. And we should be able to celebrate that at any moment, everything can change in your life. We celebrate that. Someone say,
amen.
It says this in Psalms 32, verse 11. Celebrate God. Sing together, everyone. The reason why it says sing together, so that way when you're off note, no one can hear you. All your honest hearts, raise the roof. Come on, somebody. It's in the Bible. Raise the roof. What he means is lift the lid off this place. Don't keep the praise and the celebration contained to a building, but let it echo out in your life when you go to work, when you live in your city, when you go to your job, when you go to your school, when you go to your neighborhood. Let celebration be upon your life so that people can see how good God is, so people can see how thankful you are, so people can see that you're not afraid to live out loud, not preach out loud, not shout out loud, but let your life be full of grace, emulating the grace of God, so people can see that they can have something to celebrate with. You know, it's amazing. The world will find all kinds of excuses to be fearless in their celebrations. I mean, we've got grown men who are 500 plus pounds wearing spandex to a football game, covered in green and blue with all kinds of stuff on their belly. They don't care. They don't care. Second down, second down. There's nothing special about second down. It's all about the touchdown. No one cares about second down. Yeah. Fumble! Yeah. They'll do it in front of a TV. They don't even have to be at the game. You know what I'm saying? They're at home in their Seahawks blanket with their Seahawks slippers and their Seahawks hat. Jason Goodman does it all the time. And when they mess up, he throws his hat at the TV. What are you doing? I can't talk to no one right now. I can't talk to no one right now. I can't talk to no one right now. Bipolar. He's down 1 minute, touchdown, yeah! Then he's up the next minute. He ain't even there. And he thinks they can hear him. I believe. Go! You know what I'm saying? He's there. You know what I'm talking about? You know, we got the world will celebrate all kinds of stuff. They celebrate Mardi Gras. I don't even know what that is. And girls will live fearlessly and do the all for a couple of 5 cent beads that aren't even fashionable, that they'll never wear again afterwards. But they're celebrating. They don't even know what they're celebrating, but they don't care. They're not afraid. And what's interesting is there's thousands of women who will live fearlessly for the world, but yet the church will be silent and afraid to say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We got eternity. We got the hope of glory. We got a hope in the future. It ain't no little 5 cent bead. We got a second chance. We got restored life. We got hope. We got a future. Come on, someone should be shouting amen right about now. Do you see what I'm saying? The world can often throw a party better than the church, and that shouldn't be. We should shout the loudest because we have the loudest thing to shout for. We should be the most excited because we got the most to be excited about. Here's why. Because God's been taking people that were nothing and giving them a second chance. You know what I'm saying? Can you celebrate God? Can you celebrate him? Come on, man. He threw the biggest party for the world. And the day that it was supposed to be, in our eyes, the most horrific day in all of time, when Jesus got up on the cross and was crucified for everyone that had sinned. That means everyone in this room. That means everyone in the whole world. And the Bible said that in that moment, it gave God great pleasure to send his son. So while everyone else was sad on earth, you know what God was doing? Celebrating in heaven. Because what he knew was, I'm making a way for people that don't have a way. And I know it seems bad on earth, but right now in heaven, we're rejoicing because you're going to make it in. Because you're going to get a second chance. Because I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you freedom. And since that day, every time someone calls upon the name of Jesus to give them their life, the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices. All the angels begin to dance and spin violently because they're excited that you accepted the second chance. See, God is throwing a party just for one of you. That should be something to shout about. It's called celebrating. Celebrating. Can you celebrate God? I'm talking to believers. Can you celebrate God? Romans 15:7-13 says this. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. I love that. I could stop right there. I could preach on that all day. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Welcome one another to God's glory. That means someone who's not in God's glory, you put any kind of sin label, reach out and welcome. Like, this isn't an exclusive club. This isn't like a, well, you have to be special to come here. This isn't a, well, you got to get it together first. No, it's come on in. Well, I'm a drug addict. Good. Come on. Come on in. Well, I've been sleeping around. I know. Good. Come on in. Well, I'm a prostitute. I know. Come on. I've molested kids. Doesn't matter. Just come on in. Well, I killed somebody. It's okay. Just come. We're welcoming anybody and everybody to the party that God's been throwing for over 2,000 years, saying you can still get, there's still room. There's still room. Come on, somebody. Jesus did it. Now you do it. Jesus, staying true to God's purpose, reached out in a special way to the Jewish insiders, basically to the people that were selected to be in the family of God, so that the old ancestral promise would come true for them. As a result, the non-Jewish outsiders, basically anybody that wasn't born a Jew, we consider Gentiles, the outsiders, people who shouldn't have been in the family of God. God said, you know what? I'm going to make a way for you to get into it. It says, the non-Jewish outsiders have been able to experience mercy and show appreciation to God. Just think of all the scriptures that would come true in what we do. Stop right there. Basically, he's saying, look, God celebrated the people. God reached out to people. And Jesus, he celebrated. But he didn't celebrate through sin. He didn't celebrate like everyone else celebrated. You know, I'm all for people. And I'm going to celebrate people. And I'm going to celebrate reaching the city. But I'm not going to strip down a stripper pole to reach the guys or the girls. You know what I'm saying? Passing out invite cards. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be at the bar. Hey, guys. Come to my church. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I'm going to live my purpose. I'm going to celebrate God with my life so that way people can see the glory of God in me. But they're also going to see that I'm not going to be judgmental. I'm not going to ridicule. I'm not going to poke fun of or make fun of their situation because I was in some of those situations. I love people right now that are still struggling in those situations because I'm believing the best for their life. See, I'm not here to poke fun at. I'm here to say, come on in. I don't care. Yeah, welcome to the church that doesn't care. We don't care what you did. We don't care where you've been. We don't care if you're rich. We don't care if you're poor. We don't care if you live in a big house. We don't care if you ain't got no house. We don't care if you sold drugs. We don't care if you did drugs. We don't care if you ain't done nothing bad in your life. And we don't care if you did everything bad in your life. Welcome in. Welcome home. There's a place for anybody and everybody. So Jesus, he goes on to say that he did this, he fulfilled this, he helped find a way for people that were supposed to be the family of God, and he's helping find a way for people who aren't family of God. And then he goes on to say this, something that's interesting, he goes, and just think of all the things that can happen if you do that. And this is what he says. Then all join outsiders in a hymn sing, and all sing your name. Basically, he's saying those that aren't singing the songs will begin to sing the songs. You know what I'm saying? Like, not just words on a screen. That's not what I'm talking about. Those that are celebrating, those that are on the outside of the celebration will be so big and so loud that the person on the outside of the celebration will go, can I celebrate too? Can I get on this too? Let me just give you an instance. For instance, this morning, there was a gentleman that came to our church for the very first time. Yesterday, he served in the park all day long. Never been to our church. I don't even know his name. But he was on the outside, joined the celebration, and came and celebrated this morning. That's what's supposed to happen. Someone on the outside should feel the love that's on the inside and go, can I get that on the inside of me? Goes on to say this, and this one. Outsiders and insiders rejoice together. And again, people of all nations celebrate God. All colors and races give a hearty praise. And this is what I want you to understand, church. What you experience right now in this room doesn't happen every day in all other kinds of churches. I don't know why God's allowing it to happen here, but you being able to sit, some of you are sitting next to ex-convicts. Some of you have never been in jail, and the person next to you has been in jail more times than you would like to know. Some of you never did a drug. Some of you are sitting next to someone who's done all kinds of drugs and sold all kinds of drugs. Some of you have been faithful your whole life. Some of you are sitting to ex-cheaters, ex-strippers, ex-liars, ex-stealers. Some of you live in a good neighborhood. Some of you are sitting next to someone who lives in a bad neighborhood. Some of you are sitting next to someone who doesn't have a neighborhood to live in. But when we celebrate God, all people, all colors, all races, all economical statuses can sit in one building together and give all glory to Him. Because if you ever know anything about a party, anyone's welcome. You know what I'm saying? A good party, anyone's welcome. We should celebrate that. I never want to get numb to the fact that we have a diverse group of individuals, because truth be told, this doesn't happen anywhere else. This, as much as we would love to say we're accepting of all kinds of people and we're inclusive, natural tendency of your DNA and your makeup is to get around people that are like you. That's why some of your best friends have the same interests that you do. You don't have a best friend. You like to watch movies, they don't. You're probably not going to make good friends. You like to play video games, they don't. That friendship's not going to last too long. You like to stay at home, they never like to be at home. It's just that, you know, you're going to find people that have common things with you. And that's what happens in our day-to-day life. If this church was predominantly African-American and you were Caucasian, you would naturally link up with Caucasian people. If this was a table, a lunch table, and there's a group of young people and you're an older person, you would naturally, not without even thinking of it, just go sit in the older section. It's almost like you can tell, like people will naturally divide themselves without even thinking or trying to divide themselves. The fact that you're able to sit next to a black person or a young person or a white person or a rich person, or there's people in this room with a lot of money, and there's people going, man, if I could get some. There's people who've had a great life, and there's people who go, you don't understand my life. You don't know what's on my rap sheet. We should celebrate that. This is rare. This is unheard of. It's not normal. But here, it's normal. You see what I'm saying? I don't ever want to not celebrate the stuff that God is doing. It says this. I'm not going to finish reading that scripture because I'm done. Here we go. We should be able to celebrate being together. We should be able to celebrate being together. Can you celebrate the small victories? How far you've come? Some of you just need to learn how to celebrate. Man, I've been clean for 3 days. Celebrate that. God's helped me not to cuss my husband out in a week. Celebrate that. I've been able to show up to work on time 2 weeks in a row. Celebrate that.
Don't minimize what God is doing in your life. Even though it might seem small, those small things begin to add up. And they begin to build character, and they begin to build value, and they begin to build longevity. Celebrate that stuff. Can you celebrate the small victories not only in your life, but in someone else's life? Can you celebrate that? You know what? Oh, man, this person has been. Some of you just need to celebrate the fact that I made the church today. You don't understand my kids and how hard it was for me to wake them up. And I cussed them all the way out down here. But thank you, Jesus. We're in church. I'll celebrate that. I'll celebrate that. And I'm not trying to make, for some of you who are all super spiritual and all religious and mad at me right now, I'm not trying to say we excuse sin. What we do is we promote progress. It's not about, yes, we don't want people cussing people out, but you know what? We want people to progress, and we want people to make it, and we understand it happens one day at a time, and so we're willing to celebrate the small victories. Some of you should be celebrating the fact that you're here just physically. Here mentally. You should celebrate that. Can you celebrate people? Can you celebrate just people? You know what's interesting is a lot of people, Jordan, you come, a lot of people don't get celebrated at all. I've met friends. There's people in our church that we threw a birthday party for them. It's the first time they ever had a birthday party. Some of you never get celebrated. Your spouse doesn't celebrate you. Your parents don't celebrate you. And you just feel like a failure. I'm here to tell you that we want to celebrate you. The fact that you have an opportunity to live something different from this day on, we'll celebrate that. And whether you choose to or not, doesn't matter to me. We're gonna throw a party for you whether you want the party or not. Have you ever thrown a party for someone who didn't want a party? It's my party, I'll cry if you want to. Go ahead and cry. We're going to throw this party anyway. Go ahead, throw your pity party. We're going to have a real party while you and your pity party. But we're going to throw a party for you. I know you don't want one, mama, but we're having a party for you. I know you don't want to see 65 candles on that cake, but I'm putting them on there anyway. You 65. If you've been in this church longer than 15 years, will you stand up, please? If you've been a part of Morningstar Church longer than 15 years, will you stand up? Stay standing. We celebrate you. We celebrate you. We celebrate your dedication, and we celebrate your faithfulness. And we celebrate the years you put into this. And we celebrate the time that you sacrificed. And we celebrate all the hours you spent. And we celebrate all the time that you invested in kids. We celebrate you. 10 years. Anyone longer than 10 years? Come on, we celebrate you. 5 years. Anyone longer than 5 years? 5 years. Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. 1 year. Anyone longer than a year? Stand to your feet. Come on, we celebrate you. Longer than 6 months. Anyone longer than 6 months? Stand to your feet. We celebrate you. We celebrate you. We celebrate you. Somebody, if this is your first day, will you stand up? First day. First day. We celebrate you. We celebrate you. We celebrate you. We celebrate you. We exist for you. We live for you. We celebrate you. We honor the legacy, but we don't limit small beginnings. Some of you might be the first time you've been back in 6 months. You ain't been here for 6 months, but here I am today. We celebrate you. We celebrate people because people matter to God. And yes, we celebrate all the hard work that a lot of people put in, but we also celebrate the first person that's here today that's going to put in 15 years now. We celebrate that. Can you celebrate something? Anything. Everyone has something to celebrate. Everyone has something to celebrate. Celebrate the fact that it could have been worse. Celebrate the fact that you get to spend time with your kids, because not everyone does. Celebrate the fact that you get a chance to have a second chance, because not everyone does. Celebrate the fact that God would want to use someone as messed up as you and give them a great pleasure. Celebrate that. Celebrate that you could have been anywhere on the earth right now, but God chose to celebrate you today. Celebrate the fact that you have a job, because there's thousands of people without one. Celebrate the fact that you, even though don't have a job, God's still providing for you. Celebrate that. Celebrate the fact that, you know what? Today, it's all going to get better for me. Maybe even neglected to be a good parent, but today, it's all going to change. Maybe you made some mistakes. Today, it's all going to change. Celebrate the fact that you was able to buy one backpack for a kid. Celebrate the fact that you was able to buy 100. Celebrate the fact that some people saw something from some church other than, you're all going to hell if you don't meet Jesus. Can you celebrate that? Can you celebrate that you're part of a church who truly, genuinely loves this city and loves people and are willing to risk everything to let them know that? You know, yesterday, as the event was going and I was taking pictures on the roof and I was by myself, because some of you didn't have a chance just to get away by yourself to really soak it all in because you're just working. But I got up on the roof and I could see everything. I saw all the way around our building. I could see all the way in the park. And I saw all the thousands of people. And right there, I just broke, because I've been a part of a lot of big things in my life, and I've been a part of big churches, and I've seen things happen where tons of churches have to collectively come together, and more of the wealthier churches in our cities have to put their funds together to make something happen. But I've never, ever, not nationally, I don't even know about any other things. But God took ex-druggies, ex-strippers, and people who are going through a divorce right now, and people who backslid, and people who don't even know Jesus, and people who didn't have a lot of money, and people who did have a lot of money, and people who have it all together, and people who are still just fighting their addictions right now, all serving the city, all loving the city. And God could have chose anybody to do it, but he chose the misfits to love on a city and to be a part of something greater than ourselves. I couldn't even have dreamt it up. And I was just standing on the roof, because all I could hear in my head was, you're not going to amount to anything. Nothing good's going to come from your life. All I heard was that. And all I heard was, you're a second year senior. You're not too bright. But God put a dream and celebrated a dream, and God allowed a bunch of people to accomplish something bigger than ever was going to be accomplished. And I'm standing before you to tell you, I don't know what you think's not possible for you, but don't believe the lie, because God's got a good plan for you, and God's got a great hope for you, and God can use you, and God can do great things to you, and you need to celebrate what God can do. It doesn't matter how much you messed up. It doesn't matter how much you blew it. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. God can take nothing and make something spectacular. Celebrate what God can do. I'm living proof that your yesterdays do not define your future. I'm living proof that God can use the dumbest, uneducated person to help build an army to reach a city. God loves to do it that way. The disciples were that way. 12 untrained men is what the Bible calls them. It's not over for you. The best is yet to come for you. I've done drugs, sold drugs, I've lied, I've cheated, I had all all kinds of sex. I've done all kinds of stuff. Let me tell you something. If God can use me, He already used you. You made history. You're changing the city. Whether it was your first day or 20 years. If you can bow your head and close your eyes, I just want to pray.